Good morning. I'm Stephanie Milligan. I am happy to welcome you to worship here at Midland First United Methodist Church. Whether you're here in the sanctuary or we're together virtually, I welcome you to worship today. We have a number of announcements today highlighting opportunities for us to know, love, and share Jesus Christ here at FUMC. First, I'm going to turn it over to Gabrielle Cook-McLavenna for an announcement about our upcoming Next Generation concert and hymn sings.
Good morning, church. I am really excited to be able to offer another season of our Next Generation Music Concert Series. This series was created to support folks who are serving in sacred music positions, folks who are educating our budding musicians, folks who are writing music for the church and the world, and those people who have been called to serve as performance musicians. This year, our concerts are the second Sunday of June, July, and August at 7 p.m. in the chapel. We will be hosting in 2 weeks. We will have Erin and Colin Whitfield. Erin is a soprano, and her husband Colin is a pianist serving in a church in Flint. We invite you to come, invite your friends. It'll be an hour or so, and it's a free concert to be able to uphold and uplift this tradition and this value that this particular congregation holds near and dear. The second thing I want to bring to your attention is we are going to do some summer hymn singing once a month on the third Sunday of each month. So I encourage you to come 15 minutes early at 9:45. Try to sit close to the piano because my hearing after playing the pipe organ is not so great these days. And you can choose the hymns that we sing. It's so true. I'm so sorry. You can choose the hymns that we sing, and we will sing them together and just be able to have a great time of worshiping before the service starts. So keep those things on your calendar, and we will update you as the busy life of music ministry here in this church happens. Yes?
Is it June 7th or June 14th?
It's the 14th. I apologize. Second Sunday is the 14th. Thank you.
I'll save Stephanie an introduction and introduce myself. Hi, I'm Kayla Williams, and I have a brief announcement to make on behalf of the Strategic Leadership Council. As many of you know, Pastor Bethany will be concluding her appointment with us at First United Methodist Church on June 14th. In her nearly 3 years with us, Pastor Bethany has been a tremendous blessing to our congregation and has invested deeply in our discipleship programs, children and youth ministry, member care, and so much more. We are grateful for her faithful service and excited for the next chapter God has in store for her. As a means of showing our appreciation, we invite you to make a donation to a love offering in her honor. If you wish to contribute, payments can be directed to the Pastor Bethany Fund and can be made by check, payable to Midland FUMC, or online. Any contributions or gifts, cards, notes, or others can be dropped off or sent to the church office by next Sunday, June 7th. We'll say that one more time. Next Sunday, June 7th is the date we need to collect all of these by. I do also want to make a note that any contributions toward this gift will not be tax deductible, just so you can have that for your reference. These gifts will then be collected and given to her the following Sunday, June 14th, during her reception in Fellowship Hall following the service. We hope that you'll be able to join us for this upcoming celebration of her ministries and wish her well as she embarks on the next chapter of her spiritual journey.
Thank you, Kayla. Today is a special day in our church life. It is the last day of the Michigan Annual Conference, where Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Bethany, and other lay delegates have been learning from and sharing with others in the Michigan Conference. So while they are there, it is my great pleasure to get to introduce our guest preacher today, the Reverend Dr. Janet Larner. Janet was raised on a dairy farm by loving parents and extended family. The congregation, now known as Trinity United Methodist Church in Chesaning, also raised her. Sunday mornings were filled with chores, sometimes getting to Sunday school late, lots of family, and hymns. Janet met her husband, Peter Savah, at the University of Michigan and moved to Washington, D.C. to study at Wesley Theological Seminary. She was ordained an elder in the former Detroit Conference in 1983, the 16th woman to be ordained at the time. She has served in congregations in the Midland area for most of her ministry and earned a Doctor of Ministry in Arts and Theology and retired from pastoral ministry in 2020. With Peter and their daughter, Kate, Janet enjoys a house in the woods, a wildflower yard, and time at the loom, which is where she creates lovely dish towels and scarves. Please welcome Reverend Dr. Janet Larner to Midland First United Methodist. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you should care for them? Yet you have made us and crowned us with glory and honor. You have made us stewards of your creation, O Lord, our Sovereign. How majestic is your name in all the earth. I invite you to remain standing as you are able as we sing our first song, God Who Stretched the Spangled Heavens, that can be found on the screen in front of you or in your pew hymnal number 150.
I bet you're excited. We're going to study the exact opposite. You are getting ready to celebrate the end of
school.
Yes, we're getting ready to celebrate the end of school.
Martha and Grandpa are coming.
You do?
Today? Today, and
there's Thursday, there's two other days. Ooh, that'll be really lots of fun. You said that your grandparents are coming? Oh, wow, that's a special time, isn't it? All right, today we are going to talk about not the beginning, but we're talking about the beginning. We're talking about creation, how God's creation is all around us. We're going to go out in the garden and plant some flowers. We are studying from Genesis. You might have realized that by now. 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 4a. Our memory verse for today is, God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. That is from Genesis 1, 31a. All right, I wonder what else we're going to discover about the beginning. Anybody have any ideas? It's going to be a lot of fun things today. I'm just wondering, do you think that God made a platypus? Was that intentional or was that a mistake? What do you guys think?
Intentional.
You think it was intentional? Okay. All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please bless us all. We want to celebrate today. We're going to celebrate our friends today, the Chevys family. And we just want to make sure everybody is aware that we will miss them greatly. We ask you, Lord, Heavenly Father, to have us have a fun Sunday school class today. And we ask for your many blessings through the end of the school year here. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Let's go to Sunday school.
Said, come and follow me. I'm calling you. I want you to be a fisherman to fish for those who are drowning in a scowling sea, a sea of loneliness and pain, confusion, hurt, worry, shame. I'm holding out my hand and yet child, and do not fear, for it is my word.
because I wanted the service to end with Pass It On, the order of worship got discombobulated today, so you can blame that on me. But we are going to have our time of prayer now. And so would you please join me in prayer, and we're going to begin with some time of silence. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this day and for the gift of life itself. We marvel at the mystery and the majesty of your creation. It is vast, beyond our ability to measure, yet you give us the honor of caring for all your creation as stewards. For this task, we pray for wisdom, for the work of your hands is very good and precious in your sight. We thank you for all the tangible signs of your grace in our lives, for the blessing of homes and family and friends, of health and meaningful work. We pray this day for those whose circumstances make life difficult, for parents too poor to feed their children, for those whose homes and villages are destroyed by war, for those who seek healing. We are grateful for all those who dedicate themselves to alleviating the pain of others, aid workers, those who advocate for peace, medical staff, especially in faraway places. In this world of beauty and of tragedy, help us be among those who make the world a better place for everyone to live. Help us to always seek your will and way. Help us see where we can make a difference. Help us to be more faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. We pray this day, too, for your church in every place, for pastors and preachers, for bishops and cardinals and popes, for all who are called to lead your people in every place, that leaders and laity might be faithful and loving and filled with grace. We give all of who we are in thanksgiving for all the love you give. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, and as his disciples we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise and thanksgiving, let us offer our tithes and our gifts.
Thank you. Please join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude, recognizing that every blessing we have comes from your generous hand. You have called us to be faithful stewards of your creation, and we joyfully respond to that call today. Lord, we ask that you bless and multiply the offerings we bring before you now. We acknowledge that these gifts we offer take many forms. We give our monetary resources to support the ministry of this church, but we also offer our time, our unique talents, and our energy to serve our neighbors and our community. We pray that you would use all these gifts to strengthen your church, share your love, and bring glory to your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading for today is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version today. This part of scripture is known as the Great Commission and the commissioning of the disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
You have a beautiful, very large pulpit that does not work for people who are not 5 feet tall. I think I can see everyone, so that means everyone can see me. Good morning, everyone. The congregation that raised me did not often expect me to memorize scripture. Junior choir songs? Absolutely, positively. But scripture? Not so much. So when our sixth grade Sunday school teacher included memorization of scripture as part of her instruction, it seemed like a big deal. That teacher, Mrs. Mabel Goot, made that memorization her contribution to the confirmation classes that we were taking that winter with our pastor, the Reverend Charles Jacobs. I mention these names because these and so many other people were crucial to my life of faith, and they deserve being remembered. Every Sunday school class, we read it, then recited what we could, and at last, the Sunday before our Mother's Day confirmation, we stood in a big circle in the classroom and recited the Great Commission. I have no idea how accurate my memory is at this point, but I think we did have Sunday school lessons on what the verses mean. Now, I cannot tell you that I learned anything beyond my successful memorization. But what I can honestly say is that these memorized words stayed in my head, as scripture often does. And every now and then they came to the surface. And though I did not know it at the time, these words became part of my life and, I can say honestly, part of my call to ordained ministry. Go, therefore, and make disciples. I want to pay attention to some of the words that are easy to ignore as the risen Christ gives his disciples their to-do list. And according to the title in the sermon and the words on the front of the bulletin, you know what the word is. Therefore. Now, I won't quote Webster here. I won't put you through that. But in my mind, therefore implies something came before it. Something happens, therefore. Your vehicle is filthy, therefore you wash it. Or someone writes, "Wash me," on the back window. Your child is ill, therefore you rearrange your plans. Things happen in our lives that call for a response, therefore we respond. So I ask you, what came before the therefore? Now, it's easy to figure this out for the disciples, for the 11 who meet the resurrected Christ on the mountain. These are the disciples who left families and businesses and jobs in order to follow Jesus. So when Jesus came along and said to them, "Follow me," they did. They responded. And that response, if we're honest, still amazes us to this day. During their years as disciples, what did they see? What did they hear? They witnessed Jesus healing all kinds of people. And Matthew keeps saying that Jesus did so with authority. They gathered the leftovers after Jesus fed thousands on 5 loaves and 2 fish. They were in the boat, afraid for their lives when Jesus came to them on the water, got into the boat, and commanded the storm to be calm. "Who is this who calms the wind and the waves?" the disciples ask. They were there at the table when Jesus washed their feet and broke bread. They were there in the garden when he was arrested. And they are there in Galilee because word gets to them that their risen Lord will meet them there. In other words, the disciples have lots of experiences and lots of reasons for a therefore. So much has happened over just a few years, and all of it deserves a faithful response. In so many ways, the disciples are on that mountain at all because of the therefore. Here they are, receiving from their risen Lord their parish and their ministry. I'm going to pause here for a brief announcement. Pay attention, everyone. Today is Trinity Sunday. Now, you are thinking, "Big whoop," or "So what?" Right? But here's the interesting thing about it. Most holy days celebrate a person like a saint or an event like the birth of Jesus. Okay, we can get that. But today we celebrate a doctrine, a teaching of the church. The Trinity, as God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, is a teaching that helps us explain the relationship that exists among the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The three in one are at work in the world in different ways. The one in three speak and move and take action in our lives and in our world. Trinity Sunday is an attempt to celebrate the full expression of who we understand and know God to be and what we know of what God does. It celebrates all the ways God loves us into faith, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all of whom love us into Christ-likeness, all of whom are working in our lives constantly. So with all this said, you and I get to a key question for the day. What are your experiences of God's love? And what do those experiences tell you about who God is and about who you are? Now, if we can read all about the experiences of the disciples, what can we say about what we know in our own lives of God's love? What have you and I seen, heard, felt, tasted, and experienced that reveal God's love for you and me and for the world? Now, I know gorgeous sunrises and sunsets can speak volumes. And one night at Lake Louise Camp, the sky was clear and the stars, oh my gosh, the sky was full of them. And someone read Psalm 8. And the sky was singing praise. The trees clap their hands, we are told. All creation sings. In all of this, we are more than mere specks. It's easy to think that way when you look at a night sky, really. How far does it go? But we are more than mere specks. We are loved. Deeply and always. Have you ever had one of those quiet nudges telling you to do something? When you followed through, was the reason for the nudge obvious? Have you the gift of faith in Jesus Christ? Have you been moved by the Holy Spirit to trust God's love for you? Or, being the good United Methodist that we are, has your heart been strangely warmed? These are all experiences of God, of the fullness of God. And it is my sincere hope and prayer that everyone here and outside these walls knows God's love for them. For them. Our experiences of that love will vary. The words we use to describe those experiences will be very different. And sometimes we will even have a hard time finding the words that do describe it. How do we tell someone of God's abundant grace? What words are sufficient? Yet God's love is expressed in the creation, the world around us. God's love is expressed to us on the cross of Christ. God's love is expressed in and through the Holy Spirit, and all of that deserves a faithful response. All of it deserves a therefore. Because all that God has done for us is a good enough reason for God to ask something of us. Only when we pay attention to the love of God does any therefore make sense. Only when we know for ourselves Jesus' love from the cross is any therefore expected. And only when we experience the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives are we called to go therefore. Now, of course, there is another aspect to the therefore that is worthy of our attention. The risen Christ says this about himself. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, though we can sing what a friend we have in Jesus, the words recorded by Matthew here that we call the Great Commission are not spoken by a friend, but by someone who has authority. Authority over us, authority over the wind and the waves, authority over heaven itself. The risen Christ is speaking with authority, commissioning us, you and me, to make disciples, to baptize, to teach, and to carry on the ministry that Jesus began. Jesus speaks with authority, telling us to preach the gospel at all times, using words if necessary. It is the risen Christ who commands us to go into the world. And yes, we should note, the words of the Great Commission are not a request. We are being told what to do. So hands up for everybody who likes to be told what to do. Which is why I think it is really, really important here to remind ourselves that we have reasons to obey. We have reasons. It is the one who saves us from sin and death who is giving us our life's work as disciples. It is the one who loved his friends who is giving us our work. The Great Commission is what follows what comes before. We who know that Jesus is Lord are called to baptize and to teach and to go into the world. We who experience the love of God are called to share that love with neighbor near and far. We who are being moved by the Holy Spirit and equipped for any ministry that is ours are being called to put our spiritual gifts into action. We who experience the love of God in so many ways, so many, are called to go into the world because that is our parish. We have our parish and we have our ministry given to us by the risen Christ, who does have authority over heaven and earth and us. The claim, the call, and the promise, I will be with you always, are ours. Because we know God's love in so many ways, go therefore into the world. Amen. Please stand as you are able and join me in singing Pass It On.
It only takes a spark. Starts it blooming.
In his mercy, the good Lord has gifted us with good news. The news of love, of constant and abiding presence, of power from on high, of a ministry that is ours, sharing the love of Christ with those around us, with neighbors near and far. We are also gifted and graced with an incredible promise. And take it with you as you go, therefore. I am with you always to the end of the age. Go in peace, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.